Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 521, recorded from the DeFauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary. Joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Michael?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, things are going well for you down there?
Yeah.
That's good. What's new?
Not much. You can't hear my basketball game in the background, can you? I'll turn it down.
Yeah, let's just turn it down.
All right.
Be professional here.
My apologies.
That's okay. Are you enjoying the March Madness?
No.
So you even gave up on that. I know you're not a big, you don't really care about it, so you just completely gave up on the March Madness altogether.
I mean, I've been watching basketball, but I don't, like, sit there for 14 hours like I did when I lived up north.
Just because you'd rather do something else.
Correct.
Because you have the options.
That's correct.
See, I could see spending all day hanging out at the pool, watching it outside, doing that. That would be a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon for me.
Pool's not quite up to temperature.
Still not there yet, huh? Even after the hot stretch we had when I was down there?
Nah, because it cooled off a little bit.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
The hot tub's probably nice, though.
Yeah, that doesn't take long to get going.
Especially when it's a little warmer.
Did you know that all eyes are on Mark Papa?
I heard that.
All eyes are on Mark Papa. Boo-doo.
I have a question for you. This will not translate well to the podcast listener, but I noticed that you still have that tag on your hat. Is this the first time you're wearing it, or did you not know the tag was?
No, I noticed it after the first couple times, and now it's just I don't care. I don't take it off.
Okay, that's fine.
It's actually a nice Disneyland Resort golf visor, the Nike branded one.
It's nice. And yeah. I just noticed the tag flapping around on the back, so that's why I was curious about that. You said you had a controversy that we had to bring up here.
Yeah, this is member guest gate two, if you will.
Ooh.
So the first controversy, I don't know if we mentioned, was the lift and clean of the golf ball that was off the green.
Right, we did not bring that up.
We did not bring that up.
So Dale Owen.
Oh, you okay?
You don't want to name him?
I didn't want to name anybody because one of his good friends listens to the show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, he picked up the ball. That's what the controversy.
That's the controversy. I don't think he did it intentionally.
Oohs and ahs.
But he definitely picked it up, and so when you are asked to mark your ball
off the green.
You have to pick it up with two fingers and hold it. You can't improve the condition of the ball. You can't clean the ball. You're supposed to put it back down the exact same spot.
You can't even, like, yeah, you have to put it back in the same spot. So you can't even, like, move it so that your lines are
right.
Like if you do the putting line on your ball.
Correct.
You have
Correct.
To put it exactly or pretty damn close to exactly where it was.
You have to try your best. Yeah.
Right.
And I think just by instinct, when he picked it up, he just put it in the palm of his hand and, like, kind of rubbed the ball.
Yep.
He wasn't thinking. Yeah. I was just
that, there's you. I don't care what people say. There was no intent.
Oh, I agree with that. 100%.
I've played with him a million times. He's an integrity guy.
I'm just surprised that no one, because there were a lot of people that no one called him on it there. But that's neither here nor there. What's the next controversy? Because I don't know about this one.
So we had lunch. Alex brought Bob Jr.
Okay.
Because he heard that they had the cream of broccoli soup. So little Bobby wanted some cream. You know, he was just tired of the milk ever since.
Yeah, sure.
We wanted to try something different. So Chris and his wife came with their two girls to meet baby Bob. You remember Chris, the kid that we sat with
for
breakfast a couple times and dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his 7-iron went missing. Do you remember when they made the announcement of
because I asked him.
Accidentally put it into your bag just to check your bag? And
yep. Because I did ask him on Saturday morning if anyone turned it in. He said no.
Yep. So talking to him during lunch, come to find out it had been handed in long after the tournament.
Oh.
By.
Uh-oh, not an opponent.
Guy who won the flight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what do you think of that? I mean, is that room to call for another gate?
I mean, and they were close, right? They came in second.
Yeah, they were close. What are your thoughts here? Because this is...
That's tough, because I would definitely notice an imposter club in my bag.
Yeah, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Absolutely.
Like if there's a ping 7-iron and all I do is play TaylorMade's, then it's going to stick out, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Again, I have a hard time believing that's intentional.
Now, could we go back? If it was in his bag, did he have 15 clubs instead of 14?
See, I don't think that rule works that way. I think you actually have to play the club. Excuse me. Like if you, if you pick up a club, I don't think that counts unless you use it.
Okay.
How do you not know though? Especially when they make the announcement. That's strange. I don't know. So does Chris think there was some foul play?
Deep down, he doesn't, but he still.
You wonder.
You like the gossip part of that, you know?
I do like the gossip.
Yeah. Part.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
I mean, for anything, he needed that after the rounds when he was playing the big money games with Larry and
that's true.
And those guys, you know?
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, par three, you're reaching for your 7-iron, and now you either got to go hard, you know, hard six or
yeah, you got to step
you know,
on
hard eight or
yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Now, the question is, did they play that team
after.
Without the 7-iron?
Interesting. Do you want me to try to get some more information?
We might need a follow-up next week, yeah.
I don't see him, though. He doesn't please. He's got two girls.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen that movie before, right?
Yeah, I'm aware. Interesting. What are your thoughts? Again, no, you don't think there was intention.
No, I don't think there's any intent on any of the member guest gates.
Yeah, I don't either. It's a high-stress environment.
Yeah, I mean, you and I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, we don't take it serious.
And we try, though. We don't want to play bad. We just are bad at golf.
We're just both bad at the same time.
Yeah, that doesn't work out
well. That's a problem.
That's a big problem. Yeah, because one of the matches that we actually played pretty good in, neither of us even shot well. We just were good.
We were bad at different parts.
Bad at different times, yes.
Like you were in your pocket on 7 when I have 7, and then you won 8-9-1.
Right.
But if we're both in our pocket at 7, now we're losing. We're not having 7, we're losing 7.
Right, exactly. Anyway, anything else you want to add to the golf?
No, that's about it. We can put the member guest to a wrap, unless next week I want to talk about that coleslaw again. But
yeah, that was pretty funny. Although, you know, speaking of, and this has a little to do with the member guest, but I was talking to someone at work, and we were talking about some of the basketball games and how these guys were missing free throws. They're like 85% free throw shooters, and it comes down the stretch, and they're missing these free throws
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of pressure. and I say it's crazy because even just playing in like the stupid member guest with the two of us, like a little 5-footer to win the hole, I like feel my hand shaking. Like there's like pressure, even though it's not real pressure, it doesn't matter. Right. There's no stakes. So imagine on that level, like how hard that is to do. I don't know. Or I'm just not, especially us, we're not used to that like competitive level golf.
Yeah, right.
So it makes it
why maybe we need to play for money just to get us mentally prepared for the big stage.
Oh, I know some people who'd be happy to hear you say that, Parts. You want me to text the captain right now and tell him that you're interested in playing for money?
No, we had a falling out last week.
Oh, is it final?
No, it's not final. He was upset because he wasn't in our group on Saturday because I forgot. I didn't keep his calendar, and I guess 7 months ago he told me what dates he was able to play, and I had already had a foursome. So he was a little sour. He said, no big deal. But then I think he had a couple bourbons, and he became a keyboard warrior, and he started up again.
Oh, you got the text late at night.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even late, but we got the text. Like, we weren't even talking. Alex basically just said, hey, you guys cool if I bring Junior to lunch tomorrow? And all of a sudden, Captain like said, oh, I'm going to be playing with the Canadians. No big deal, though, blah, blah, blah. And he started again. I'm like, oh, here we go.
That was it. That's all it took, huh?
Yep.
That's funny. All right, well, let's get into the real deal of this episode. This week, we're going to talk about which cuisine does Disney World do best. So it's not best restaurant. It's just like best overall cuisine. And we were trying to kind of narrow it down to a few choices, and we'll talk about it a little bit, see which one rises to the top here. But I think there's some pretty obvious ones that stand out above the rest. And then you said that maybe next week or in a couple weeks we'll do which is the worst. Which cuisine does Disney?
Which cuisines,
cuisines
are the worst? Hit us up on social media and let us know your thoughts. We'll read them during the show.
Yeah.
Which cuisines are the worst at Walt Disney World?
Yeah. Not just specific restaurants, just overall they do a bad job of it. I could think of one right off the top of my head, but we won't mention that. We'll save that. But we're here to talk about the best, because as everyone who listens to us and has listened to us these last 10 years knows, we are nothing but positive. We love positivity and good vibes and good thoughts. So we'll start with the positive. And there is one, I think, maybe not obvious, but I think it jumps to your mind first. It may not be the best. We'll find out. But I think Disney does a good job with Italian.
Oh, come on. I agree with you.
I don't know if it's their best. We have to kind of go through and see what they say. But overall, I think they do a good job. And I think they've gotten actually better at it in the last few years. Because there were some places that kind of got a bad rap, like Tony's Town Square, that seems to have turned it around a little bit. People are more positive on Tony's now than they have been. You know, that would have dragged the score down, and I think now it's actually helping it out a little bit. One of the advantages, though, is that there's a ton of options for Italian. Yeah, obviously, yeah. Epcot, you have the Italy Pavilion, you have two restaurants there.
Which are both fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't eaten at
Tutto Italia is so Tutto good. Susie and I love that place.
Yeah. Have you ever done Tutto Gusto? Gotten any food there?
Actually, I believe it was the 2014 Aruda family trip, that one day when we bought an extra day. Yeah, I was just saying that we had like a bowl of meatballs. She had a glass of wine, or maybe even did like a little wine flight. But that, you know, that's something maybe I need to go over and review.
That seems like a good idea. But we also have, obviously, Via Napoli, which people love. Mm-hmm. That's a very popular restaurant. Tutto Italia, though, I haven't really checked out their menu very recently. Let's see what it's looking like here, parts. I mean, they have the calamari. For an appetizer, prosciutto. I mean, it's basic stuff, spaghetti and meatballs. They even have a steak, like an Italian style New York strip, chicken parmesan, lasagna bolognese, fettuccine. So that used
now
to
you
be...
remember when we were there when I took a picture and you were impressed because it had the bone in.
Yes, right. That was there. Okay. That's right. Now, this used to be like the original fettuccine Alfredo, right? Mm-hmm. Where they would make it tableside for you.
Yep.
It's before it changed to this.
That's going old school, yeah.
They have the gnocchi. I mean, it's just a solid Italian menu. And then, of course, you know, Via Napoli, if you want that wood-fired traditional-style pizza, which I feel like maybe is one of the better deals at Disney. Because if you have a family of four, I could go with myself, my wife, and the girls, and we could get one large pizza for like $50 and everyone be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not many places where you're going to get a sit down and be able to get out of there for $50.
And people complain about the price. Susie and I have gone in there, and we've gotten a pizza and maybe some calamari. Yeah. And we'll bring half the pizza home. Like, again, you know, it's a $20 dinner if you split it by two, or say $25 if they're $50.
Yeah, because you're probably getting the medium one, right?
No, we usually do get the large.
Okay.
Because I'm one of those, I always get the bowl of soup instead of the cup of soup because it's a dollar more. So when you look at the price, I'd rather just pay a little bit extra and then just get the...
And take it home.
Because I can bring it home. It's a lot different for, you know, you being DVC, you can bring it back to the room and put it in your refrigerator. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to walk around the parks with a bag of pizza.
Right. But you have the pizzas, which are all great. And then they even have some classical Italian entrees, spaghetti and meatballs, ravioli, tortellinis. The branzino, which is sea bass with lemon oil, green beans, and cherry tomatoes.
How good does that
sound? That's only like $36 too. That's not bad.
You can't buy sea bass in a supermarket for that.
No, so I think those are both good restaurants. I wouldn't say they're slept on because people definitely know about them.
No, they're definitely anything in park is going to be popular.
Yeah, especially if it's solid. Now, obviously, Animal Kingdom doesn't really have any Italian.
Yeah, I'm not going to put Pizza Fari on that list.
Yeah.
Although Pizza Fari, I think, is a great quick service.
It's not bad. It's not a bad quick serve at all.
Remember when we went in there, we had like the chicken Caesar salads?
And the soup there was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, yeah.
That's a good golf shot right there, Gary.
That's a great golf shot. Hollywood Studios has a place close to our hearts, Mama Melrose.
Mama Melrose, solid.
Always love it. That place gets kind of crapped on a lot.
It really does. Like, for us being like food snobs, we love that place.
It's just, I think it just holds a real soft spot in our hearts because...
I just think you get a good, consistent meal every time. Yeah. And you're right. We've been there so many times, like with big family.
Big groups,
like tables of like 10.
Yeah, so that's automatically going to make it seem better. But that steak is still one of the best entrees there.
Yeah, the at steak Disney World that I've had. Macaroni and cheese is fantastic.
Yeah, the steak with the four cheese mac and cheese with the wine reduction on there. It's only $36 for a big. That's a big portion too. Like that'll.
Yeah, it is. You're full when you're done.
Absolutely. And again, they have chicken parm, spaghetti, and meatballs. Shrimp pasta, Mama's Italian pasta, fettuccine with roasted tomatoes and garlic, artichokes, butter and white wine sauce. Like, that sounds pretty good. $24 for that?
Yeah.
Like a vegetable pasta? Nothing wrong with that. They have some soups and salads. The calamari's pretty good there. I think they changed it up a little from the last time we've been, though, the calamari. Giant meatball for an appetizer.
I could go for one of those right now. Could you?
Yeah.
Would you have a giant meatball right now while you're doing the show?
Twin Oaks meatballs are the best. Those are still my favorite. They're about the size of a softball, those things, aren't they?
And they just sit, you know, that they just sit on that.
Oh,
in the pot in the sauce, like,
all day.
Yeah, all day.
It's a beautiful thing. I'm like starting to salivate.
Just one meatball.
Yeah, I mean, I think those two places or those two parks have very good Italian. Magic Kingdom, like I said, Tony's has gotten a better reputation as of late. I haven't been, I've never eaten there, so I can't really speak to it. I know you went
a while ago. Yeah.
But the menu is very different. They have like foot-long mozzarella sticks. Have you seen those things?
Yeah, so that looks good. Their garlic bread, like the tower,
the blue
looks
cheese
amazing.
Stuff on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks really good. Tony's garlic bread for the table. Toasted ciabatta with roasted garlic butter and a Parmesan fonduta. $13. They have a Caesar salad. They have a seasonal soup, a caprese salad, a house salad. Again, the same song and dance for the entree. Spaghetti and meatballs, chicken parm, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp scampi, which I really like shrimp scampi.
I do too.
So that could be good. And it's $33. That's not bad.
No, I don't think
it's bad. Short rib. Braised beef short rib. Tender beef slow cooked in beer and pepperoni sauce with crispy Parmesan potatoes and seasonal vegetables. $31. Rigatoni alla vodka. Do you like vodka sauce?
Yeah, I actually do. Yeah, like a pink vodka. Yeah.
I love that. When it's done right, that's so good. Then they have a tortellini al forno. So like a spicy cheese tortellini with sausage, onions, peppers, and mozzarella. I mean, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Tony's we're talking about.
I mean, it's been on my list to review for quite a while, because I think their price points, I don't know, maybe we're so used to Disney pricing. I think that they did a great job of trying to hold down their prices over the past few years. And I don't think the pricing is bad. I would pay that, like what you said, for a shrimp scampi. I'd pay that if there was a local restaurant across the street from me.
$33? Yeah, that's sure. Maybe like 10% more. Maybe you'd pay
$30. Yeah, $30 maybe high. Sure, yeah.
28, something like that. So like $5 more than you would pay normally. But I think inflation actually helped Disney because the prices are more in line with even the chain places. Like you can't go to like Chili's for cheap anymore. You know, places like that. And then now you have these options. I would like to try. My problem with Tony's and just Italian in general is I like trying things that aren't available, like specific entrees that I really look for. That's why I like Mama Melrose, because that entree is so good. Even though it's an Italian restaurant and you can get Italian anywhere, and you can usually get pretty good Italian anywhere. And so I usually avoid it at Disney, but I am dying to go, over to the Swan and Dolphin. Go to that place.
Little Il Molino.
Little Molino. But we also have the place you just reviewed on our YouTube channel.
Back to back. I did the breakfast last week.
Yeah.
And I did dinner this week is over at the Boardwalk Inn, Trattoria El Forno.
So what are your thoughts on that place? Because I saw like Susie wasn't super impressed with some of her stuff, right?
She was not impressed. I don't want it with the garlic bread. Our first, and that was an upsell from the waitress.
Yeah.
She wasn't impressed, but everything else, she got the veal, the Richard Veal Ossobuco Patino.
She liked that.
She liked that. I got the grilled swordfish, and then we got the caprese salad.
Yeah, I mean, again, the prices aren't crazy.
No.
entrees anywhere from $28 to $39. The 39's for a steak, a strip steak. Veal ossobuco,
$35.
Dude, what? Richard Veal ossobuco patino. That's so, would you say it's a little more like upscale than the ones in the parks? Like a little fancier feel?
A tiny bit. It's still pretty cash. Yeah. Single dining credit, pretty cash. You could walk it, you know, obviously a t-shirt and shorts and be fine, but they got a great breakfast, so parts. They got
We're not even talking breakfast here.
I know.
Now, this was the place that Angry Newfield Jr. said he really likes, because I think Luke got that like truffle gnocchi and devoured.
Yeah, I remember him talking about it on the show.
I mean, that sounds pretty good. I like gnocchi with Parmesan, Fontina, and truffle cream. That sounds good.
It's a fun place, too, because they share the bar with Abracadabar. So
you can go to
Abracadabar, you know, while you're waiting to be seated. And then they have the open kitchen. It's a really nice restaurant. There's just so many good options in that Crescent Lake area that it's just so overlooked.
Yeah, there sure are. Yeah, I mean, what else? Obviously, Il Molino we talk about a lot is probably the cream of the crop when it comes to Italian. At Disney, I can't think of a better Italian restaurant. Can you?
No.
And you've been to most of them, if not all.
I've been
all
to
of them.
Pretty much everything we've discussed tonight, I have been to.
And that one's your favorite out of that group?
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Am I missing anything as far as it? Would you consider Topolino's Terrace Italian? For dinner,
well, I mean, yes, it's French / Italian, so yes, I would consider Topolino's Terrace.
So that could be,
and you'll be hard pressed to find a better signature. Yeah,
yeah, you said that meal was out of this world.
Out of this world. Yep.
So that's interesting. I don't know if I would have, because that's like kind of Mediterranean, but it falls into the Italian. I think it leans more on the Italian side. So I think,
yeah, I mean, it's got the combo of both. I mean, even the quick service.
Right. Primo Piatto
does both of them. They have, you know, the Italian sandwich, but then they've got the French, you know, the croque monsieur, whatever, however you pronounce it.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is almost split right down the middle between Italian and French.
You know what? I think I'm going to give the nod to Italian looking at this menu. They have the herbed fettuccine, linguine scampi, rigatoni, bucatini. Then they have some meats like a filet, lamb shank, things like that. But there's a lot of Italian influences on that menu for sure.
Does that look like a place that you would like to hit?
Oh, absolutely. And besides the point that I'd probably want to get like four different appetizers, for what you would consider a signature, the price point is not bad.
It's not terrible. It's not.
You could get like bucatini for $30. I mean, granted, there's no meat, like that's just a pasta dish, but you get a couple of appetizers and then like a nice pasta dish. Can't really go wrong with that.
I think for one of the appetizers we got was like a pasta with the braised short rib. I don't know if that's still on the menu.
Let's take a quick
look. And it was so good.
I don't see that one right now. They have a duck confit gnocchi right now with pesto, kale, and pine nuts. That sounds good. That's the thing. The place like that, they really do change the menu up quite a bit.
Yeah, of course they do.
But yeah, that looks good. And again, if you're going signature, the most expensive entree is $54 for a filet. That's not crazy for a signature. It's not cheap, don't get me wrong. Like, people, you're not going there for your budget meal, but if that's your splurge meal,
yeah, sure.
That's not crazy. That's not a crazy price at all.
You can watch fireworks from a couple different locations. That's a great spot.
It's nice. Are there any? Oh, I didn't even think of Disney Springs. I bet we missed a few Italian. I know we did. We have Maria and Enzo's at Disney Springs.
which got a lot of heat, and I've been there. I've been there twice. We did Enzo's Hideaway during the golf trip.
Yes, that was good.
Which I thought was good, didn't you?
I thought it was very good. Yeah, it didn't like change my life, but it was good.
Right, and we Susie and I did Marie and Enzo's, which we really liked. So,
yeah, so that's kind of the same. They're different menus though, but it's the same kind of
same restaurant. Concept, right?
Trying to think, am I missing anything else in Disney Springs?
It might be one or two that obviously isn't piquing our
jumping
interest.
Out at us, yeah. Oh, Terralina, I've never been there.
Terralina, I've never been there either.
Obviously, it's not something that is high on our list. Just going through real quick. Yeah, nothing else that really jumps out. I guess Terralina would be the only other one that would be definitely considered like a traditional Italian, and we haven't tried that, but I mean there's a good list of Italian restaurants. It makes sense. It's a people pleaser, right? Everyone for the most part likes Italian food.
It's safe,
but it can be when it's done well, it's really
absolutely good. Absolutely.
Like there's not many times where you're like, I'm in the mood for Italian, where you're going to be like, oh, I hate that. You know, you may not be in the mood for it, but
the problem I think with Italian is when done poorly, it's still fine.
That's a good point. Cause I was actually having this conversation at work as well about Olive Garden. And I was like, I know people like to like make fun of Olive Garden. I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah. We've talked about that all the time.
Like, for what it is, it's exactly what you expect it to be.
I can't tell you how many times Susie's like, I'm so in the mood for the salad
it's
soup.
So good. Their soups are good. I like Olive Garden, so I don't have a problem with it. But I can recognize that it's not fine Italian food either.
Yeah, it's not a place that you're going to go on your anniversary.
No, correct.
But we'll go, you know, when we're out and about running errands and, oh, you know, I wish there's an Olive Garden. I haven't been there in years. Let's go.
Right.
Exactly. Then we go and have a meal. And we're like, yeah, it's just as good as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. You know exactly what to expect. Well, should we move on to another form of cuisine, Pards?
Yeah, sure.
You want to talk seafood?
I think seafood's their number one there.
You think so? You think they do seafood? Wow. I do. That's high praise. Okay.
I do.
So you think seafood. What I think you might be right because they don't really do any seafood in the parks. And that might be what saves it. Outside of like Coral Reef, which is not great. I can't think of any like seafood specific restaurants in any of the other parks. Of course, there's seafood entrees on pretty much every menu, but Coral Reef doesn't really impress me.
No.
I mean, Magic Kingdom, Columbia Harbor House, we're not really talking quick serves here, are we?
No.
That's not gonna cut it.
I mean, the only other thing, like, Skipper Canteen... I mean, that's kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that. Now, here's the question, though. What about, like, Japan Pavilion? Like, the sushi place that just opened? The Shikashai, like,
I mean,
sushi.
The jury's still out on that. I haven't tried it, and I haven't seen many reviews, so.
Yeah, that's also, like, a total different subset of the food restaurant. Yeah, not really anything that's calling to me at any of the parks. Let's look at this Coral Reef menu. I haven't looked at that in a long time.
I've been there twice, and it was much better than what people give it credit.
We went on our honeymoon, and we enjoyed it, but it wasn't even probably a top 10 meal on our honeymoon. But it wasn't bad. So appetizers, they have shrimp cocktail, New England clam chowder, seafood artichoke dip. It's not bad. And a salad. For entrees, we have a grilled mahi-mahi with street corn-style salad and cilantro lime crema over garlic jasmine rice, $34. That sounds good. I like mahi. That's one of my favorites.
Mahi is one of my favorites.
Shrimp and grits, Cajun grilled shrimp with seared grit cake, andouille hash, and Cajun emulsion for $34. Then we have a prime rib. I guess we probably don't want to talk about that at the seafood restaurant. They have a seared Verlosso salmon with roasted parsnip, piquillo peppers, bacon, and lemon beurre blanc, $31. They have a chicken and a mushroom dish. So they really only have three seafood options at the Coral Reef. It's not really doing a whole lot for. I gotta be honest. This one,
I agree.
This one's not doing a whole lot for me. Animal Kingdom, I guess maybe you could count. I'm drawing a blank. Nomad Lounge, Tiffin's.
Tiffin's
has a lot
yeah.
of seafood.
Yeah,
but it's still not really a seafood restaurant.
No, I wouldn't consider it like a 100%.
No. Same thing with Hollywood Studios. Not really a seafood You're restaurant correct. There. However, you get to the resorts, and that's where you really and Disney Springs, actually. I think Disney Springs is probably even more. But at the resorts, there's a lot of
Let
very good...
Let me ask you a question. With the lack of seafood restaurants in the parks, is that because it takes longer? And the park restaurants are just trying to get you in and out?
I don't know. Does seafood take longer necessarily?
I don't know. I'm just asking that kind of out loud.
I think it's just not as much of a people eater. I think that too many people are picky about seafood, so they want you to like seek it out maybe a little more.
It could be.
That's my thought. I mean, Cape May dinner buffet is seafood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a buffet. I have never gone for dinner. Have you?
We actually went years ago at Thanksgiving.
Oh wow! So, but yeah, it was seafood, like, right?
Yeah, it was the buffet, but then the carving station they had the turkey and all the trimmings. So
okay. So according to this, they have clam chowder. They have a carving station, but then they also have New England Captain's fried seafood selection. So you probably have scallops, shrimp, mm-hmm. clams, all that good stuff. Sustainable catch of the day, probably tilapia. Paella, which is one of my favorite things. If it's got like mussels and stuff in it, that could be fantastic. You can get snow crab legs for an upcharge.
Yeah, for an upcharge, right.
They have seafood pasta salad and, you know, all the other regular buffet stuff. Again, it's not... We're off to a slow start here with the seafood stuff.
We certainly are, because we started at the parks and then a buffet.
That doesn't help. That doesn't help. Luckily, we're at Crescent Lake, so things are going to pick up. Things are going to pick up. And we should probably go over to Flying Fish next.
One of my favorites.
Is one of your favorites, yeah.
One of my favorites.
Talk to me about what makes it so good.
The inside is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's nice. I've never been.
It's beautiful. Another open kitchen. The food is just phenomenal. The service is phenomenal. Everything is just, and it's slow paced. Like I hate being rushed.
Right. Especially at a place like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you expect it in the theme park, and that's fine because I'm the minority.
Right.
Where I want to spend 2 hours having dinner where people want, you know, grab that plate off that heat lamp and serve it to me so we can get to our next Genie Plus.
Right. Yeah. You're definitely
in the
minority.
I want to say pass, but yeah, it's just the food there is fantastic.
How's the lobster bisque there?
From what I remember, it's been years, but it's pretty damn good.
Because I know that's kind of like onion soup at the steakhouses, and you do the lobster bisque mm-hmm. at the seafood
places. You're exactly right. It's good.
I mean, the entrees, just look fantastic. Potato wrapped red snapper with leek fondue and a red wine reduction.
And that's, I think that may be their signature.
Okay. Now this is like a two signature, a two credit signature, and it's a little expensive. That's $58 for that. That's up there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip the non-seafood options. They have a seared scallop with savory grits, sweet corn, and a peppadew emulsion, $51. They have a salmon with lemon, bomba rice, baby fennel, and pernod saffron puree for $48. This sounds good. Chilean sea bass with jumbo lump crab, grilled asparagus, tarragon, and Ras El Hanou brown butter for $56. Sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
A seafood pasta with shrimp, lobster, scallops, clams, and mussels for $57.
Okay, how good does that sound?
It sounds ridiculous. And then side dish of like grilled octopus, seared scallop. You can just add a lobster mm-hmm. tail for $27. It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those entrees, it's expensive. It's okay. It can be expensive. But don't you kind of want expensive seafood?
Yeah, I do.
I don't want cheap
seafood. I don't like cheap. Sure. Yeah, I don't like cheap seafood. That's for sure.
No. Like, I don't mind
going. I'll do a cheap sirloin.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't want, no, I don't want cheap seafood.
I agree with that. Like, I'll do like a $12.99 fish and chips. That's usually fried into oblivion where you're not going to get food poisoning from it. But if I'm getting like mussels, I don't want cheap mussels.
No.
I don't want cheap raw oysters.
I don't want the imitation crap on that pasta dish to save me $20.
Exactly. The pictures look good. The descriptions sound good. From what you said, the inside of the restaurant's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
I mean, you can't. It sounds like you can't get much better than that when it comes to seafood. But we can try.
And I think the thing for me is, like, as we're working around Crescent Lake, is that I love steak. Steak is my favorite food.
Yep.
But my favorite restaurants at Disney are all seafood restaurants. Because now we're going to go over to the Dolphin.
Yes.
And Todd English's Blue Zoo is
Blue Zoo.
Insane.
Better than Flying Fish, you think?
We both believe it is, yes.
Wow. And you love Flying Fish, so you're not
knocking. I love Flying Fish, correct.
Let's look at this. Again,
their clam chowder is, I mean, the clams are still in the shell.
Oh, that's right.
It's such a great presentation.
I mean, they have crab nachos. Crab, black beans, pico de gallo, chimichurri, and white cheddar, $27. That's an appetizer. Thai mussel frites. Fresh, sustainable mussels with a coconut curry broth, crispy potatoes, and lime, $22. Seafood tower. That says $24. That can't be right for a seafood tower. Anyway. Entrees. Blue Zoo's Simply Fish. Please select from our nightly choice of fish. So you just get, there's cobia, mahi, salmon, corvina, swordfish. And it comes with risotto, seasonal vegetables with your selection of sauce. There's a crab meat sauce, a salsa verde, a white wine sauce, charred tomato sauce. Add a lobster claw for $9. I mean, that sounds pretty good. Lobster bucatini. Seared ahi tuna. I know you're not a tuna guy. I like tuna.
Correct.
That sounds pretty good to me. Seared ahi tuna, avocado wasabi puree, crispy sushi rice, daikon scallion slaw, and a soy ginger emulsion. A whole roasted fish, tomato marinated yellowtail snapper, English pea, Yukon truffle potato pave, toasted walnuts, fresh herbs, brown butter, lemon vinaigrette, $51. I don't know. It sounds good. It's actually about $10 to $12 less expensive per entree than Flying Fish as well.
Yeah, because they have to compete over at the
Swan and Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. And then, of course, we can't forget about, maybe we keep saying your favorite, but this is probably your favorite restaurant on property is Narcoosie.
Is Narcoosie.
Which is absolutely a seafood restaurant. And you've been there recently.
Yeah, since the refurb. And it was as good as I remember. It's fantastic.
It's different, but the food was just as good.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, shrimp and grits for an appetizer, calamari for an appetizer, ocean-inspired charcuterie board, ahi tuna pastrami, charred octopus, and lobster sausage. Like, that's right up my alley to try some weird stuff like that.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, see, that's too outside for me.
I want to see a picture of this. There's a picture on here. Oh, that looks so good. That lobster sausage looks amazing. Tuna pastrami. Oh, that looks so good. Lobster bisque, of course, which you love from there, right?
I love it. Angry Newfield Jr. did not like it.
He doesn't like their lobster bisque. Interesting. Nope. Surf and turf, of course. Filet mignon with butter poached lobster tail. A ginger roasted salmon.
And that's what I got the last time I was there.
Okay.
I went with surf and turf. It was fantastic.
Blackened redfish with chorizo, sunchoke hash, southern sweet corn hominy, and red pepper roulis for $49. Sounds good. Gulf shrimp bucatini. House-made bucatini pasta, roasted tomatoes, Savoy spinach, parsley, and basil pea stew for $42. Seared scallops and Parisian gnocchi. $54 comes with English peas, ham, truffled Meyer lemon cream. There's a roasted vegetable paella, some steaks, sweet potato gnocchi, a pork chop. But I mean, it sounds pretty good. Everything on there sounds good.
And let's not forget about what's upstairs at Citricose, where I had probably the best fish entree I've had in a long time.
And that's the thing, too, because I would not count Citricose as a seafood restaurant. But some of these
only because signatures, it's a Mediterranean restaurant.
Right, but some of the signatures have excellent, excellent seafood dishes on them. So I'm looking at their entrees, and they only have one seafood dish, which it must be the cobia. Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. So you can't really call Citricose a seafood place, but obviously a great seafood option there. Just going through quickly, obviously down at Disney Springs, we have Boathouse.
Boathouse.
We have Paddlefish, I heard mixed things about that. I think that's about it for the seafood there, though, right? Nothing else?
Yeah, from what I can remember, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, a lot of the places are going to have good seafood options, but those are the two real seafood places. And I think Boathouse, we were watching a video over the weekend, and I was telling Sarah, like, Boathouse is so great because their brunch is fantastic. We had that brunch there. You had that steak and eggs, right?
Yeah.
Which you said was really good.
It was excellent.
I've had the Dirter there, which is great. I haven't even had seafood there. I guess I had the shrimp and grits for brunch, but
Susie and I both had lobster rolls last April when we stayed at Saratoga Springs.
And you said they were really good, right?
Excellent. Yep.
That's the thing with Boathouse. It's great because you can go for brunch or just get a sandwich, but you can go all out, get, you know, expensive steak, expensive seafood, the raw bar, all that stuff. I mean, you can definitely go all out.
I think what they're lacking, I think their lobster bisque is not one of my favorites on property.
It was okay.
It was okay, but it was, I think, was it a little too creamy?
Too much sherry. Had like too much of that like liquor, like the alcohol flavor for me. I like it to be more lobstery.
Yeah.
When I have it. Some people like the sherry. Like, that's just a personal preference. I don't particularly.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
I was going to try to bring up another type of cuisine, but I think we probably nailed the top two at Disney. And you think seafood comes out on top over Italian? If you had to pick between the two. I haven't had enough seafood on property to properly judge, because Sarah's not a huge fan. Like, she'll eat it, but it's not what she craves. Like, she doesn't want to go to a seafood restaurant because it's not her favorite. So we don't go that often when we're doing something like for a fancy sit down. So I might lean Italian just because there's more options and they're all pretty good to very good. But I could be convinced, because the seafood, some of those entrees just sounded so good. I guess I'm more likely to eat at the Italian with the younger family and
Your
eaters. But I mean, we didn't even get to talk about probably both of our favorites, which is steak, which would probably be a very close third place with some of the steak restaurants they have on property.
What do you want to touch on that real quick?
We can. I don't know if we have enough time. When we start talking steak, it could be another hour and a half on this show. I mean, what's the best steakhouse on property right now?
I think it's Shuler's, and I don't think Shuler's, it's close to you.
I like Yachtsman.
I've heard a lot. I got to try that again, because I've heard a lot of negativity from Yachtsman.
I haven't been in a long time, so it's hard for me to say. I prefer dry-aged over wet-aged, personally. And Yachtsman dry ages and Shula wet ages, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Not saying that Shula's was bad. It's obviously very good. Steakhouse 71, I do want to try at dinner to see. You like STK a lot.
I really did like STK.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really liked Le Cellier.
Oh, of course. I almost forgot Le Cellier. Yeah, Le Cellier.
And that's
great.
Another place that gets...
doesn't get talked about
no.
as much. Once they switched to like two credits, people just went away from it.
Yeah, it was fine when it was cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
But then we had to start paying for it.
Again, we can go back to Boathouse. You could consider that a steakhouse easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a really good steak menu as well.
I think the thing for me is that I think Disney cheap steaks. That kind of sounded weird, didn't it?
Yeah.
Cheap steak. But their cheap steaks are good.
They're not bad.
Like, STK is a good budget-friendly place to bring your family, because they're going to have kid options. They're going to have a steak. They're going to have something.
STK is pretty expensive unless you go for brunch, though. I think
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Steakhouse 71.
Oh, okay. My apologies. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, STK is very expensive unless you go for brunch. But Steakhouse 71.
Not bad. You're right. Even like Turf Club. I had that prime rib at Turf Club. That was fantastic.
And that's a place that gets zero love, and I think that's a great restaurant.
I wouldn't consider it a steakhouse, but it had great prime rib. Yeah, like, you can get a decent steak at any sit-down. The steak at Rose and Crown is pretty good.
Yep, I've had it there.
I'm trying to think of other places where I've had it. Like, even we talked about Mama Melrose. I like that steak a lot, and that's a cheaper steak for sure. So, again, as with anything, is the higher end you go, obviously you get what you pay for, and those are the ones that we really gravitate towards. But I don't know, just the variety of Italian. I lean that way, but if I could only have one, I'd probably want to do some of that seafood, because it sounded so good.
Yeah, the seafood. I think the seafood is the best that Disney has to offer.
Yeah, Blue Zoo.
Is there any way you're going to be able to set that thing up?
I mean, I want to do Rosalina. That's like the one that I really want to do.
I do too.
When we're over there.
Because I'm there for two nights when you guys are at Beach Club. So.
Oh, true. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. Anything else you want to add to the discourse here?
No.
No. Again, you can go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@WDWBTG, and you can see a review of Trattoria Al Forno, breakfast and dinner, back-to-back, yes, last two videos, room reviews, other restaurant reviews. It's all there. On our social media, we are at WDWBTG, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Our Facebook group is WDW Beyond the Gates Podcast Family. You can email us info@WDWBTG.com, Mike@WDWBTG.com, and Gary@WDWBTG.com. And of course, our website, WDWBTG.com. Check us out there. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, all that good and exciting stuff. Is there anything I left out, partner?
Nope, you hit on all cylinders tonight, Parts.
Awesome. Well, that's going to do it for episode number 521 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R-E.